Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Shy. Fantastic number that we've all come to love. This is Deborah Lee. You're listening to Atila Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group that hangs on allpoetry.com, a huge poetry site that you can join for free. And if you join or are a member, you can look us up on the group tab under Atila Voices, and I'll meet you at the door. Then you can participate if you'd like. You can also call in at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we would love to hear from you. We're here many nights of the week with different hosts and hostesses with a variety of prompts too. Tickle your muse, and if you're in the chat group, you can find the topics listed by date above the chat wall to tell you what the topics are, to participate if you'd like, or to follow along. And on that note, I am going to say hello to Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life. Hey, guys, welcome to the show. Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
There you are. Hello, Stephen. Good to hear you. I think I lost you again. Crazy. I can see you there, but I can't hear a thing. My, oh my. There you are. That's odd.
I'm going to call in on a different phone.
Okay, cool.
Why don't we?
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna call back.
Okay, I'll be back in a second.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Talk to you then. Okay, hopefully that one will be better for them. I know they got some storm activity in the area. And speaking of storm activity, let's give a shout out to anyone in the path of the current hurricane barreling towards Florida. Stay safe. Evacuate. Do what you need to do. Take care of you. And I did check in on a grass man, and he is 30 miles away from the area. So, you know, hopefully everything will be fine with him and everyone else that lives down there in Florida. And our dynamic duo has dialed back. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Is that better?
I heard you both that time. All right, glad you're here. Yes, it's much better. And then right behind you guys is Mr. Dave Prophet. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deborah.
It's been a while.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Yeah, it has.
Glad everything worked out and that you're safe and sound up there.
Yeah, finally. The weather finally cooled off a little bit. PGE decided to turn the power back on. Yeah, so... That kind of threw me for a loop. I was out without power for a couple of days, and a lot of my food in my refrigerator never made it. So, you know, it's upsetting when that happens, you know. But what are you going to do?
All that food, waste of money, being in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like fun at all.
No, I actually wrote a poem about it.
Better. Well, how about if we get this show on the road, as we most often do, with Ms. Kay? If you see your poem, will you please take us away?
Yeah. I did bring a pre-write for this one because I felt with my picture that I selected that this write fit perfectly. So I fixed it up to fit to the prompt, and I call this Trespassers Will Be Fined. August is sweltering in its accusations of mind. My feet dangle the earth, never to graze, always reaching for land, and failing as a tablecloth, face of farmhouse. Little boy blue and murdered innocence. Mother Hubbard was a fraud, living in a shoe, her house of horrors. She was a devil in disguise. I know the truth. Anniversaries of felations are the aggressive rage that placemats. As color blows, so the threads and needle-eyed plants were slapped, painted to lie. I feel raped easier than you know, crying myself to sleep with an ache that isn't tolerant. Executioner, damning my soul to feel the pain that is not my own, yet bared witness to. I have come to understand the silent truth that I know. Repentance, not free, my sentence is my fate. You see, I feel it is my destiny to outlive you all. But as I can feel every scrap of pain and let it rot in my bones till I become ash of the earth. I don't want it. Who murdered your soul so as you can go to murder mine? Blood we share is not mine, but you're the one who could bring bad men to their knees and make them weep. Please release me as if a year I don't know how much longer I can carry this. My crime is to roam, feeling the scraps of poor acid on the visions that don't want to release me. End poem.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, mega story pool here. Starting right there with the title, Trespassers Will Be Fined. For some reason, that tickles me. It's like not a threat, a promise, right there in the title. And then your details, August is sweltering. It's in the an accusation of mines. My feet dangle the earth. Dangle the earth. Jeez. This is one of those ones where there's so many details. Little boy blue and murdered innocence. Mother Hubbard was a fraud. Living in a shoe, her house of horrors. She was the devil in disguise. Like, just that right there. For some reason, the thought of Mother Goose being the devil in disguise, like Mother Hubbard, I mean, being the devil in disguise sort of gives me the creeps. And then you top it with that little bow there, I know the truth. Cool. Executioner damning my soul to feel the pain that is not my own, yet bared witness to. I have come to understand the silent truth that I know. And that truth is like haunting, nagging, gripping. You sort of feel it. Who murdered your soul? So as you can go to the murder mine, blood we share is not mine. I'm like, whoa. And then that last, the ending there, my crime is to roam, feeling the scraps that pour acid on the visions that don't want to release me. And then there's that haunting, but that haunting is like eating you alive, and it's the acid that gives me that feel of you know, it eating me alive, tormented. You know, I think it's been a while since you've shared one that's so long, but because of the fact that there were so many details that I kept getting the chills, and I was like, whoa. I didn't even realize the length until I was just trying to find which parts to quote out loud. But, like, I really enjoyed the plot. I enjoyed the visuals, the metaphors. I think this might just be my new favorite from you. Really great story.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy details. Fantastic share, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. David, what do you think? Dave, are you muted?
Who did you say, Jim?
Can you comment?
Oh, did you want me to comment?
Yeah, can you comment for Kay, please?
Oh yeah, sure. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you very well. Kind of phasing in and out here. Oh man, this was a heavy poem. For Kay, I mean, I had to do a double take to see who I was listening to. I love this. I thought this was great. I agree with everything he said about it, Deb. It's amazing. that one, let's see, which one is it? One, two. It's the second stanza down there. Little boy blue and murdered innocent. Mother Hubbard was a fraud. That's almost got a little bit of humor to it to me. Living in a shoe, her house of horrors, she was a devil in disguise. Wow. This is really, really good. I really like this. There was one other part there that I was looking for. The next couple, fourth stands down. I've come to understand the silent truth that I know repentance is not free. You know, you can do stuff and then repent about it later on, but there's always a price to pay for it. You know, you just can't. Some people think, well, you know, I'll screw around all week and then I'll go to church on Sunday and everything's hunky dory all over again. It doesn't work that way. And this, stanza here sort of reiterates that. My sentence is my fate. You see, I feel it's my destiny to outlive you all. I have to say this is one of my faves that you have done, Kay. It really, really is good. It's fascinating, the storyline, and it's fascinating. I'm glad that you extended it to the length that it is. It's really, really well done, really well thought out. Of course, most of your stuff is, but it's so colorful and fascinating, just fascinating. I have to say, well, really well done on this. Excellent.
Thank you, Dave.
Totally.
You're welcome.
And Stephen, will you tell us what you think of your wife's masterpiece here?
Well, yeah, it is definitely a powerful piece, and I know where it's coming from. So I will just read the one part of my comment that I made on it when I first read it, and I would say that if there was a way, I would blow it all away from you.
Thank you.
Hmm. That was a beautiful comment. Heartfelt. Awesome stuff, Kay. Absolutely. Stephen, you want to tell us what's up before you read? Over at A Poetic Slice, I mean?
Sure, let's see. Sky is on tomorrow instead of Saturday because she needed Saturday off. So that's at 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, Tuesday, at Poetic Slice of Life. Storyboards, she is doing the movie Little Monsters, Fred Savage, and Howie Mandel. Quote rights, character rights, scene rights. Come and geek out with Sky, 8 p.m. on Tuesday. The Poetic Inklings and the Movement of Sound are connected this week, as on the Inklings, Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, we are featuring the quotes from the movie and the book Less Than Zero. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. What's their names now? Andrew McCarthy, Iron Man.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, there you go. And Jamie Gertz. It's a really good movie. And Movement of Sound on Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, we're going to feature the soundtrack to Less Than Zero. So check that out. We'll be listening to that soundtrack on Thursday. And did you want to talk about Friday, hon?
Friday's pretty simple. Just at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The write-in challenge for September. Anybody who gave me permission, we're going to read those rights that night. And the topic is any write-in form that you took on that you feel comfortable sharing, bring it.
There you go. And Friday night is also the Man Cave here at Atina Voices at 11 p.m. Eastern with me and Hatter.
Mm-hmm.
We know things.
Cool. I always get a kick out of listening to you guys chat when I can hang out. All right, cool. So your poem is on the board, sir, so show us what you got.
Okay, brought a long one, so I figured I'd bring everybody. this is called Knocking Minutes Off the Clock Face That Disappear Without a Trace. Dotage synapses flash like candles light. Span breeze blows through melted wax. Boxed wine pours memory's night. Sewed and blinkered stress those tacks. Clouded red-hot coils turn metal to slush. Burnt tomato soup stains kitchen floors. Acrid green smoke fills the ceiling flush. Grinning youth behind two locked doors. End poem.
Quite interesting there. A span breeze blows through melted wax. Boxed wine pours memories night. I know a lot of people that have quite a few memories vested in boxed wine. Fluted red-hot coils turn metal to slush. Burnt tomato soup stains kitchen floors. The visuals there with the metal to slush, I can literally see that. I guess maybe from watching the gold show where they melt it down into the ingots and stuff, so you can see them. I've seen people, you know, call it liquid metal or liquid gold, but never slush, so I thought that was really, really cool. But I'm taking note of the fact here that you have two little stanzas and it's a 10. Stephen, and a front page pick two. Congrats on both factors. But like, you're getting really, really good at nailing the brevity that score 10s. I think that's really, really awesome. And the picture and your words go really, really well, especially with the closing line, grinning you to behind two locked doors. Really, really cool. I like where you took it. And I'm going to get you some comments, but let's say hello to AP. Hello, AP. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Thank you. How are you?
Are you here in time to hear Stephen?
I was actually here in time to hear him start the first word. How's that for precise entry into the studio? Yeah. So it's kind of fun, isn't it? Because in the image, there is this sort of, while there's lots of blues and yellows, there's lots of reds and sort of bits going on. And I like how you pick up the reds, the red hot coils, the tomato soup, it's really interesting because it would be easy to miss, but I think, you know, you really pick up the colours there very well.
Thanks, AP.
Great comment. And Dave, will you comment for Stephen? David, are you muted?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. Talk to the mute button all over again. Well, I really like this. It's really descriptive. The second stanza that everybody keeps referring to, fluted red hot coils turn metal to slush. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know what it's driving at, but it's very descriptive. And so is the next line down, burnt tomato soup stains kitchen floors. that sort of sets the stage for this image that we're putting together here. Acrid green smoke fills the ceiling flush. That's pretty cool. It looks like my kitchen when I start burning stuff when I'm cooking. Grinning youth behind two locked doors. That's a neat line. Yeah, this is an interesting poem, and I wish I could do brevity like this. I just don't have it, and some people have it, some people don't, and you do, Stephen. And congratulations on a can for this, too, by the way. It is really a neat poem. It's interesting, really interesting.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Comment. And Kay?
Well, yeah, I like what this brings because of the picture itself. It looks like, as I see it, a face of time and how things are melting away because of it. I like how, in building on the picture, you build on words to speak of time and how things, in their own way, are there, but also kind of like slipping away. You know, like with youth comes old age and then watching things pass and kind of like a reflection through time in its own way of the yesterdays and what's in the today. So, yeah, I like how you play on that factor, the time and the look of things.
Thanks, hon.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. Great shares, both of you. And I don't know how much longer you can stay, but I also need to know your time frame, AP.
Probably reasonably hurried, Deb, because I'm still trying to sort out my internet situation. Everything at the minute is going through my mobile phone, and I've got no permanent internet here, so I'm just trying to sort that out at the minute.
Okay, but then I will grab your link right now and grab it and put it on the board, and you can show off your skill in just a moment. Have it. And then, David, let me know when you see it, please. You guys see it?
Looking now. Oh, I've got it now. Yeah, I'm running at about 2 miles an hour here on the internet, so thank you.
Cool. Okay, take us away, please.
Okie doke. Well, the story with this, Deb, is that I did Owl of History's Past, and then I wrote the poem and didn't realise there was a word bank. And then I'd done a palindrome, and then I had to retrofit the 11 words of the word bank I hadn't used because I'd accidentally used red. So this is Owl of History's Past 2, the word palindrome, and it goes a little bit like this. Past blow history's ruined by clay, vast arches eight here must weigh, green faces triggered those do pass, the scene appears light here in grass. Poker plant with inset base, joker a cuckoo clock still his face, wheels twin by movement relieved, peals of needle in birds besieged. Red Island's road, painted clock, led by owl and chickens to shock, sing tender peace in poetic rage, ring by linen wrapped on stage. Stage unwrapped, linen by ring, rage poetic and peace tender sing, shock the two chickens and owl by lead, clock painted, road, Island's red. Besieged birds in needle of peals, relieved movement by twin wheels, faces still, clock cuckoo a joker, base set within plant poker. Grass herein light appears seen, past those triggered faces green, way must here eight arches vast, clay-baked ruins, histories blow past. End poem.
My, oh my. All right, before I comment, let's say hello to my sweet. Hey, sweet. Welcome to the
show.
Hey,
Helen.
Glad you're here. And then it just so happens that Hatter was late tonight, but he got here just in time to hear the, quote, evil palindrome. So, hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
Yeah.
Good morning, Hatter.
Hey, AP.
So anyway, on the evil palindrome, I think it came out really awesome. And then to think about the fact that you went back and added in the word bank is pretty cool, oh, too, because I don't know what it looked like before you added them in, but it doesn't look like you forced them in anywhere, with the exception of red, of course. But I like that you emphasized on the fact that it's a cuckoo clock. And then you threaded history through it, like from the first line, past blow histories. And you mentioned different things that would set our minds to certain places. Peals of needles and birds besieged. I love the word besieged there. The led by the owl and chickens to shock, sing tender peace in poetic rage. Peace, it's mentioned a couple times, that peace at a time like now with all the turmoil and upset in the world, to have you mentioning the peace through this is also, like, you know, works in the theme of history. Sing tender peace in poetic rage. I don't know why, but I love that specific line. I think that that line itself could be a poem a poem prompt. Sing tender peace in poetic rage. I really love that line.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the backwards one, faces still, clock cuckoo, a joker. I always, in awe of the way you do the reversed lines in the palindromes, because, I mean, I've tried a couple, but they're really hard, and you always do them so great. I know part of it is your use of commas. I rarely use commas, and they would probably help a lot. Well, they obviously help a lot in the writing of a palindrome. But like the clay-baked ruins, histories blow past. So we start and end with history, and the clay-baked ruins, you can picture many different ruins that have been found over the years. So I like how you made the cuckoo clock a history lesson by pulling aspects from the art, but also aspects from the world and from history to drive it home. So great job. Appreciate that. And I know they probably have to go, so let me go right over to Stephen, please.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty damn amazing. It's a brilliant description of the picture. I think it also tells a story of the passing of time and, of course, rhyming in both directions. So as usual, I need a Band-Aid for my chin, AP. So very well done.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
And is Kay still with you?
I definitely like how you speak about past blue histories and histories blue past, because I definitely, when I read this originally, I was definitely seeing the look of time in nature, life. There's a smart identity given to this through the prompt, while also bringing in its metaphors that stands very well in its own meaning. It's a wonderful palindrome.
Thank you. Thank you, Kay.
Great comic, Stephen and Kay. Thank you very much. And in case you have to go, love and respect to you both. And before I get the next comment, let's say hello to Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Yeah, sorry I'm late. I fell asleep, and Jerry just said, don't you have a show? And I'm like waking up going, what? So here I am.
Well,
and who reminded you? Your hubby, Tom. I said, thank you. And in the meantime.
Yes, thanks, Jerry.
In the meantime, I'm going to let Hatter comment on the evil the palindromes.
Actually, I was finishing mine. I didn't go along. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No problem. And my sweet?
You know, it's another smart and engaging poem outside of the talent and the palindrome and all that. I really enjoyed the metaphors and the imagery. I mean, two chickens and an owl led, clock painted Rhode Island red. I kind of really enjoyed the imagery in there. I also, right above that is the rage, poetic, and peace tender sing. There's, you know, of course, with linen in there too. But I think it's got so much in it that you just kind of follow through. Even without the picture, I think there's, you know, there's so many things you can focus on between the singing and the owls and the chicken and the rage and all of that. I'm not quite sure why you call it the horror palindrome, but I kind of really enjoyed just the imagery in it. I thought it was pretty good. You don't do a lot of kind of this type of metaphoric imagery, and I really enjoyed it from your piece.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And David, before you read your poem, will you comment for AP, please?
Yeah, I'd love to. I really like this AP. I think it's great. By the time I got down to the third stanza, listening to you, I started hearing I Am the Walrus by the Beatles.
Oh, wow.
no, I just something about Lennon and the way this is worded and the cuckoos and all that stuff, I just was cuckoo-ca-choo thinking about that, you know. It's a marvelous poem. It's really good. It's one of your best, I think. Very visual. Entertaining, I just thought it was really good. I think he did the prompt world of justice. You know, I couldn't have done anything with this prompt. That's why I know I couldn't have, but you sure did. So I have to say congratulations. I think this is a great poem. Really good.
Thank you, Doug.
And compared to a Beatles song, well, damn, Dave, great comment.
Yeah, I'm big for that. Deb, I am going to disappear. I did want to give a quick shout out though for Sweets, you know, program very shortly. I actually wrote a piece for it a few hours ago, Sweets. So you do have a piece on board for your Lovecraft show. It is sitting there on the board. I will leave you all to it. I actually really like. Can I just say, you know, the bit of that poem that I really liked was the Rhode Island Red, because that's the chickens in reverse. That's the type of chicken they are. They're Rhode Island Reds. Ah, R-H-O-D, of course. I get away.
Way cool. Good luck with the modem.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, talk soon. Okay, bye.
Okay, David, do you see yours? Can you take us away?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I didn't quite know what to do with this. It kept wanting to go one way, and I was trying to pull it the other way. So I hope it's not confusing to you. I call it heavier than air. That'll never fly, climbing into ivory skies, haughty cumulonimbus, grinning in pockmarked limbus. Runways lead from the past to the future. Bell Flight 14's the only transducer between yesterday's and today's. The Dark Mother will not let you say, here today and all of tomorrow, leaving you alone is such sweet sorrow. Even if you left the day before, will not let you even the score. Cheating, the Dark Mother abhors, point of departure in days of yours. 13.8 billion years ago, the Big Bang's done, don't you know? Runways littered with monuments of man, still considered noble, you understand. Alien races have no grandmother ducks. They're fascinated by fowl that goes cluck, cluck. Those aliens not of this earth, searching to their end their own dearth. They come in large silver ships, shadows cast from our sun doth eclipse. For they would have us do their bidding, knickknacks numbered as sets and matrix gritting. Telepathic question says, you must be kidding. Negative times a negative is positively forbidding. So they've come to shoot Flight 14 down, Earth's aviators inside the airship's town, with weapons so advanced to have no effect on aircraft so simple, so easy to deflect. The aliens didn't think this one through very well, searching their hairless heads and saying, well, what the hell? Their gigantic grandma didn't know what to say. Garlic grandma, I'm sorry, didn't know what to say. To the green kitchen pans never put away. Alien lasagna has no pepper or meat, so it seems. Their cookbook from Earth by Borges Weems. Bell Flight 14 lifted off anyway, despite what they thought to say. If you're going to conquer Earth, come back another day. We don't go softly into the night. And we don't play that way. There's a farmhouse somewhere with no mollycoddle under old lamps and F-14 Top Gun model, whose nameplate says those words in fame, whose call sign is Maverick. Pete Mitchell's the name. End poem.
Fabulous details, David. I didn't know for sure whether the Dark Mother would make an appearance here because of the fact that this is less of a, well, I guess it could go to space, but in the art, it's there's something like a, you know, the airplane, the glass, so I thought more of this Earth. But then, on the other hand, it doesn't mean that she didn't come down in here by Earth to come and see her David Williams, so then never mind. Okay, now, between yesterday and today, the Dark Mother will not let you say, here today and all of tomorrow, leaving you alone is such sweet sorrow. And I like the little play on words there that bring a hint of a romantic visit or a visit with emotion. The runaways littered with monuments of man. Runways littered with monuments of man, still considered noble, you understand. Alien races have no grandmother ducks. They're fascinated by fowl. That goes cluck, cluck. I like the rhyme. I could feel you having some fun with the rhyme in this one, Dave. Telepathic question says, you must be kidding. Negative times, a negative is positive, for positively forbidden. Negative times, a negative is positively forbidden. Talk about a play on words, dude. And I had to laugh. They're garlic grandma. Garlic grandma, like that grandma that just always smells like something, garlic. We'll go with garlic. Didn't know what to say to the green kitchen pans never put away. After lasagna has no pepper or meat, so it seems their cookout from Earth by Borges Weems. But, like, I'm still stuck back at the green kitchen pans and never put away, never washed either. And then you wonder what the green stuff is. Yeah. And, alien lasagna has no pepper or meat. I don't know that I want to know what is in alien lasagna for sure. It was cool. It was like a mix of seriousness with humor. And as always, great details, and the nod to the Dark Mother, it's definitely a Dave Prophet story. Great share, Dave. I like where you took it.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Petter.
Yeah.
What you think?
I was going
to
say, when you told me that it's
black, and then
today you have to
be. I can't hear
him. Petter? You're muted? I was going to walk up to the ladies and change people up. Okay.
Are you muted, beautiful? Okay, everybody's muted. Linda, can you comment for David?
Yes, I will. David. I would like to have a scalpel and a probe and carve into that brain of yours to see what makes it tick. Because this poem is so out there and it's so honestly realistic in a surrealistic way, but Your imagination just goes overboard, and it's wonderful to see. There's just so many good lines in this, and I enjoyed it quite well. The imagery from it was amazing. I mean, I was right there walking along with you as you wrote this, but yeah, really great imagination, David. Thank you for sharing this.
Well, thank you very much for the nice comment, Linda.
You're very welcome, David.
Awesome comment. And, sweet, are you back on?
Yes, I am.
Any comment for David?
Well, first off, there's nothing like the Dark Mother story. And one full of imagination, one where she hits up with David. There's just something about these stories. I think your imagination is fabulous. I think that when you bring these stories to us and the fact that you can integrate her into just about anything, that your adventures with her about everyday life and about fantasy and about, you know, your creativity, whether you're walking down the street, whether you have a prompt, whatever the picture is, I think it's amazing. And you always use such great graphics to tell us about her. You have the depth and the creativity to make her seem real to us. And every time you bring one, I get really excited about it because I know it's going to be a fabulous story, just like this one was. So once again, an amazing, great poem by you, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sweet. That's sweet. Thank you.
Great comment and a clever comeback, David. And Hatter has not dialed back yet. So on that note, let's go over here and see what else I have here. Click. I am going to put sweets on, and as soon as I find a team of, there it is, okay, and I see Angel out there. Hello, Angel. My sweet, when you see your right, take us away, please.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
all right. This is Clock of My Fate by Sweet Pea. Lay me down as the moon sings to the horizon, as the smell of magnolias float on the breeze, let cool cotton sheets caress my back, and the blues fill the air. Nightmares and pigments of black bruises clutched the charade of time, wasting away in the tick-tock haze that every moment is mine. Where calendars change dark moods to sunshine, self-inflicted metamorphosis announced the cloak of obscurity, stepping into the pop of metronome's rhyme. Decaying is the skeleton, a variation shock defined, wandering through the labyrinth of longevity, an apprentice in possession of my mind, searching for clemency to dodge the curse of dying. The mystery of numbers never laughs on the face. Hands move in pace, but second helpings are never the same. Just the same game played in the rounds. Lay me down as the moon sinks to the horizon. The smell of magnolias floats on the breeze. The cool cotton sheets caress my back and the blues fill the air as the clock of my fate spins in the rounds. End poem.
Mm. Wow. What?
Yeah, that was right. As the clock of my fate spins in the rounds. The ending, well, you heard the collective wow around the room. There was something in your tone, too, sweet. Starting off with that title, Clock of My Fate, is a really, really powerful title. Lay me down as the moon sings to the horizon, as the smell of magnolias float on a breeze. And for right that moment, you can almost smell the magnolia and you get the urge to, like, you know, breathe in and quote, you know,
yeah,
sort of a stop and smell the flowers kind of thing. Let cool cotton sheets caress my back and the blues fill the air. And then nightmares and pigments of black bruises clutch the charade of time, wasting away in a tick-tock haze. That's gripping, wasting away in a tick-tock haze. It's like that,
yeah.
Everything's quiet, your head's spinning, but you can hear that tick-tock, and it sounds like, feels like a countdown that sometimes coordinates with the beat of your heart, and then that amplifies. It's like, so the setting there and the details are potent. Self-inflicted metamorphosis, whew, a cloak of obscurity. A cloak of obscurity is so sad. I mean, so you got my emotions in a roller coaster here, and sometimes it's spinning. I started out with that deep breath, and then that was that. You got me spinning, wandering through a labyrinth of longevity. I can't talk. The mysteries of numbers never laughs on the face. Hands move in pace, but second helpings are not the same. Just the same game played in the rounds. Potent stuff, sweet, as always. And between the words that you bring us, and that magic sweet voice as you read, it's always quite a treat to get to listen to you read. Fabulous share.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you want to go first?
Yes, I do. I do. First of all, I'm going to put this on my list, pin it to my list, because I think it's one of your best. I think you did a fabulous job of reading this, Pam. It just, your whispering, hushed voice really, really made this poem pop out more than it's doing or did. Boy, I don't know where to start with this. I just love every bit of it. Nightmares and pigments of black bruises clutch the charade of time, wasting away in tick-tock haze. That is just outstanding. Wasting away in a tick-tock haze. Wow. I wish I could come up with some of stuff like this. That every moment is mine where calendars change dark moods to sunshine. Wow. This is amazing. I agree with everything Deb said about this. Lay me down as the moon sings to the horizon, as the smell of magnolias float on the breeze. Let cool cotton sheets cross my back and the blues fill the air. That's great.
Thank you.
This one thing here that stands out to me. Self-inflicted metamorphosis announced a cloak of obscurity, stepping to the pop of a metronome's rhyme, decaying That's not the one I wanted. Okay, here it is. The mystery of numbers never lasts on the face. Hands move in pace, but second helpings are not the same, just the same game played in the rounds. I know this probably sounds pretty strange, but each one of us has, we all have a little bit different weight. We all have a little bit different mass to us, and so that affects the curvature of space-time. We all curve space-time just a little bit differently. And when you do that, your own slice of time changes, and it's not exactly the same as mine or Deb's or Hatter's. And so your own time is your own time, and that second time around thing reminded me of that. So I just you can have a repeat of the very same moment that you had just 5 seconds ago, and it's different. And so I just thought this was really, really fabulous. Really good job on this, Pam. It's one of my favorites of yours. Really
thank
good.
You. I love what you just explained. That was really cool.
What a fabulous comment. And I don't know if you see the board sweep, but even Angel's blown away. She said she's nominating that one. And if she hadn't, I would.
Yeah.
Awesome, Angel. Can't blame you there. It's fabulous.
There you go.
And Linda, you're the next reader, so will you comment for my sweet pea and then read for us? Linda, are you there, hon? Maybe
yeah,
you're
sorry
muted?
About that.
That's okay.
No, I can you hear me?
Yeah.
I sure
can. You hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, sweet, you're another one I would like to get into your brain and see how it ticks, because you have another imagination that is out of this world beautiful. Always your poems are so lovely and soothing to hear, but this was inspiring, especially listening to you read it. Your voice gives it a second kind of life. So it's like a dual wonder to hear, but very tasteful and cohesive with great surrealistic imagery that was just over-imaginative. Your lines, the mystery of numbers never laughs on the face, hands move in pace, but second helpings are not the same, just the same game played in rounds. That is a very beautiful verse, but you have so many in here, and yes, it does deserve a front page pick. I'm very inspired by this piece, so thank you very much for sharing it with us.
Thank you, guys.
Fabulous comment, Earhart.
You're welcome, sweet.
Hold on 1 second before you start reading. Sweet, how much longer are you staying, doll?
I'll probably hang up after Linda, after I comment on Linda. So.
Okay, then what I'll have you do is comment on her and then push tomorrow. So, Linda, go ahead and take us away, please. Oh, and by the way, Hatter just got back. Welcome back, Hatter.
Okay, awesome.
Go ahead,
okay,
Linda,
first take a look at this picture. Okay, this is called Just a Dream. I had a dream that nothing seemed to be right or where it should. An eyeball blinked at me, I think. It said that things were good. When the eyeball spoke, it took a toke and told me to hang on. It's just a dream, and so it seems you need to hit the bong. And salads fought with porcelain pots whilst lasagna did fight back against the wine that told the time to polish the knickknacks. Now announcing blows whilst grinning shows was the Red Queen in the middle, telling lies while swatting flies and saucers played the fiddles. Then a train from which it came plowed through the castle door, where lawyers balked and, oh, quite shocked, began to hit the floor. Now a boat which was afloat way up in the sky held Two of One, and Being Young, She Began to Cry. Please don't cry and tell me why your tears are falling down. She said to me she'd lost the sea and was falling to the ground. I sighed a bit and then did sit a while to catch a thought. I'll get a net, so don't you fret. It'll work, or maybe not. The eyeball woke and then it spoke. Don't open up for doom. Just catch a cloud that's floating down. Then eat these fine mushrooms. And then the queen woke from my dream, and with a laugh she chimed, to check your shrooms for any doom, throw in a silver dime into a pan, and if you can, fry it for some time with a pad of butter had, and wait and drink some wine. Then if the dime in some time turns green, then poison sets. So don't eat those mushroom treats, or sickly you will get. But sometimes that silver dime won't turn green, but still will make you sick, and really quick it can surely kill. So with a yank, I told her thanks, then offered her some tea. She replied with open eyes, I'll drink it for a fee. I paid her well with a bell she could sound her way. She took it fast, and then at last she went on with her day. The candlestick stood up quick, then began to laugh, because the cake the Red Queen baked was taking a bubble bath. I looked around, and then I found balloons with colored light that floated high up in the sky, shining through the night. And then a mouth that was south of just the nose alone, it smoked a pipe and then did cry, I've surely lost my bones. Then in the middle of this big riddle, as the mayor on a box, juggling chairs up in the air, wearing clashing socks. Now the eyeball screamed, it's just a dream, so don't believe the hype. And you'll find if you are kind, you'll have a pleasant night. So now's enough of all this stuff, I know it's all just fake. So now's the time for this rhyme to go, so I can wake. End poem.
Yay! Right? You are such a star with the rhyme and flow storytelling that you always hit me with. And like, okay, how creepy, the eyeball woke and then it spoke. Don't open up for doom. Just catch a cloud that's floating down, then eat these fine mushrooms. Between the bong, I think there was a bong. Wait a minute, I'm trying to find it. I'm still stuck on that eyeball.
Yes, towards the beginning.
I took a Coke and told me, yeah. So it's just like, I don't know if this was just a dream or a big giant hallucination, but it is so cool. And like I said, I got myself hyped up over that damn eyeball. I sighed a bit and then did sit a while to catch a thought. I'll get a net. So don't you fret. I'll work. Or maybe not. It'll work, or maybe not. I'm like, there was like equal little pieces of creepy crawly and giggles mixed in with the rhyme and flow and the visuals into a pan. And if you can, for some time, with a pat of butter had, and what a drink. And wait and drink some wine. I don't know why I can't read all of a sudden. I guess because I'm too busy trying not to giggle. So with a yank, I told her thanks, then offered her some tea. She replied with open eyes, I'll drink it for a fee. I don't think that I've ever offered anybody a cup of coffee or a tea where they said, I'll drink it but for a fee. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just drink it myself. No, this was really fun. The use of the word bank was really cool, and you are just a master. We talk about a rhyme all the time. Well, here's some Linda rhyme. Fabulous, fabulous job.
Thanks.
And, sweet,
and,
go ahead.
What happened was when I got the picture, I couldn't enlarge it, so I couldn't see it. And then finally I enlarged it, and I started looking at all the stuff in it and went, whoa. This is a big hallucination happening, so it worked well.
Yeah, I totally agree. It definitely worked well. So, sweet, how about if you comment for Linda and then tell us what exciting stuff you have for us tomorrow night, and then I'll get her some more comments when you go.
Okay, so for me, there's two really great stanzas in this. But first, you always find a way to make it well, and that's what I love about your poetry. But I like two things about this that just stood out for me, because they've got this true sense of, I don't know, humor and the way people should act. They've got a little bit of metaphor to me, and that's "Then a train from whence it came plowed through the castle doors, where warriors balked and, oh, quite shocked, began to hit the floor." Because warriors balking and being shocked and hitting the floors is something I really want to happen, and the fact they might get run over by a train just really made me giggle. Because metaphorically, I think that's brilliant, because that's something they really should do. And then there's one, let me see if I can find it. I'm sorry. I will find it. I'm sorry, you guys. It's the one with the mare in it, if anybody can find that for me.
Down towards the bottom.
Okay. Oh, here it is. Then in the middle of this, big riddle was the mare on a box, juggling chairs all up in the air, wearing clashing socks. Well, mares do just stand on boxes and juggle all kinds of crap up in the air. But the fact he's wearing clashing socks, again, metaphorically means, for me, it's like they're always wearing clashing socks because they never get anything right. It's just like this symbolism of, yeah, what's coming out of his mouth is all clashing, but if you look at, you know, something as simple as his socks, you can't get that right either. So I love the fact you have him, you know, as a riddle and all of this riddle, but he's on this big box juggling all these things in the air, but he can't even get his socks right. So I'm probably reading way more into it than I should, but I love those two stanzas because they've got this tad bit of realism in their metaphors. So other than the great big giggle that I received, I love those two metaphors in this. Once again, you're brilliant. You're a hell of a rhymer, and you've got the story stitched up really nice and neat.
Thank you, sweet. Thank you
so much. You're very welcome.
Tell us what's going on.
So as we go into the month of October, I am picking various horror authors of our time. Tomorrow night is H.P. Lovecraft. He is one of the great authors of our time. So through the month of October, I will be highlighting people like Poe and Hitchcock and Rice and Straub and, of course, Stephen King. But tomorrow night is H.P. Lovecraft, and I have a bunch of really great sayings, quotes from his books. One of them would be, "I have seen the dark universe yawning, where the black planets roll without aim, where they roll their horror unheeded, without knowledge, luster, or name." And one of my other favorites is, "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is the fear of the unknown." There's this really great one that he wrote that I think is a really great one that people don't often think, and I really like the sound of it. It is a mistake to fancy that horror is associated inextricably with darkness, silence, and solitude. Because, you know, for me, horror can be in the daylight. So I like that he wrote that. So there's some quotes and stuff. And, of course, if you want to look up anything that H.P. Lovecraft has written, any other quote that he has written, please be free to look him up, write something that he's done. But I think H.P. Lovecraft is one of the great writers of horror in our time. So come join me, look him up, write something about him. David, I know he's a great science fiction writer, so you might enjoy some of his work too. So come on by. Come talk to me about H.P. Lovecraft.
Sounds like a great show. See you there.
Thank
and thank you for calling. And I'm going to get some more comments for Ms. Liz Hatter. What do you think of Liz?
Yeah. I'm still tripping over mine. I can't go back and forth. I got to stick to the page.
That's okay. That's all right. Let me go and get a comment from David.
Oh, man. this was really cool. You had me laughing, and I just loved it. You know, this is right out of my era, you know, the hippie era and all the great music that came out of that time. This is what this poem reminds me of. And, you know, it's kind of like, some of the stuff that Jefferson Airplane used to sing about, you know, with the hookah smoking caterpillar and that sort of thing. You know, the second stanza, when the eyeball spoke, it took a toke and told me to hang on. It's just a dream. And so it seems you'll need to hit the bomb. I love that. That was great. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here like that. That's, you know, every stanza is great. Man, it's just, I really like this, Linda. Nobody writes like this. Nobody. And nobody rhymes like you do, you know. As a matter of fact, I was reading a brand new lady that started following me. She's only 16 years old. And she's really good. And I was telling her about ATOV. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I said, if you want to start rhyming, I said, you need to read some of this poetry from my friend Liquid Damage. And so I put your URL to a poem to her. And I did that with a couple of people, and there's another gal that's just learning. She's only got about 11 poems posted, and I told her the same thing. And
wow,
because I can't think of a better example of how poetry should really read if it's going to rhyme than you, and you do it so well.
Wow.
And it has this rhythm to it, and it's slick like clockwork. It's never tongue-twisting, you know. I mean, I could read your poem and have no problems with any of it. And, you know, and in some poetry that I've read, I have to concentrate on it like I was reading a paper on quantum mechanics or something, but not your stuff. It's just real, really fun. And this poem here, it made me laugh two or three times. I don't know if you can hear me as you were reading it.
Yeah.
But I apologize for that, but I couldn't help it. It was
no
great.
Problem.
And it's a wonderful poem. It's a wonderful poem, and I hope you keep writing just like this.
David, I'm honored. I'm very honored. And don't ever apologize for laughter. I mean, that's one of the best things. Thank you very much for your lovely comment.
Oh, you're welcome.
Definitely a fabulous comment. Yeah, and I think that hearing that, I mean, it's not like you were hacking over her voice with your laughter, but hearing that little bit of a giggle in the background, it really does feed you as you're reading, because you know you're reaching somebody. So, yeah, no, I thought it didn't interfere with the call in any way. All right, you guys, so if you click on Heavenly Angel's poem, I'll read hers for her. And tell me when you see it.
Yeah,
where'd
it go? I got it.
Okay. So, this poem is called The Castle of Love on Paradise Island by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Amidst the sky painted in pigments of cornflower blue, starfish-shaped clouds of ice and chiffon float across the horizon. A colorful palette. A stately castle stands on what has become known as Paradise Island, gently caressed by waves of silvery foam from seas colored amethyst and aquamarine. A gentle breeze blows salt air across the tranquil, palm-fringed terracotta beach as we laugh, sing, and dance to sweet melodies of undying love and devotion. And when the sun sets in threads of coral wine and tangerine, announcing the end of another day, when the lapping waves sing out gentle lullaby, let me be found wrapped in your arms, inhaling musky scents of forever. Let me drown in your sea of your being. End poem.
Wow.
Right? Let me be found wrapped in your arms, inhaling musky scents of forever. I love, 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 yeah. Love that. And then, really clever here, a gentle breeze blows salt air across the tranquil, palm-fringed terracotta beach. I love that palm-fringed. I'm fairly sure I've never heard that metaphor put together. But they do, they have their floppy leaves, they do look like fringe, so it is quite a brilliant one. But like all the tender moments, the use of color, the way she tugs at our heartstrings with her words. A stately castle mm-hmm. stands on what has become known as Paradise Island. It's just like tender, loving, romantic, vivid images. She always has a way of making the readers feel. And anyone who's I've asked to be her reader on any given night knows that you somehow get drawn in to the words while you're reading them, which is a clever thing on its own. So, I think that it's a beautiful poem. And as always, it was my honor to be her reader. And thank mm-hmm. you for participating, Angel. It's a great share. Linda, what you think?
Well, this was just lovely. I want to go there. It sucked me in and just carried me along each line. This ending is so amazing that, I mean, let me drown in the sea of your being. That is such a beautiful line. But the whole thing is just, you know, line after line of loveliness. A stately castle stands on what has become known as Paradise Island, gently caressed by the waves of silvery foam from sea-colored amethyst and aquamarine. That it just, I mean, the picture of that in my brain is just stands out and shows a beautiful place. So it has imagery that brings out the realism of the piece. And she totally, as far as the prompt, she did it such honor with her words that, I mean, even the prompt doesn't deserve her words. This is just so killer. I just loved it. Angel, you are just too much, girl. This was beautiful. Thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment, Linda. Thank you. And David, will you comment for Angel?
Oh, yeah. This is our lady of romance on our team of voices, and she surely is. She, the depth of her heart knows no bounds, and it shows up in the way she uses her words. You know, she's such a gentle soul, and the way she expresses it, what's in her heart through her poetry, is mind-boggling to me. I love it, and it's so It almost reads like a prayer sometimes, some of her stuff. And, you know, this, God, I think every man on the planet would love to be loved by a woman like this. It says, let me be found wrapped in your arms, inhaling musky scents of forever. Let me drown in the sea of your being. Whiz. Man, I'm not worthy of those kind of words, but boy, it sure is nice to hear them. Just a perfect poem. Wow, beautiful. Describes the prompt. Well, I don't think the prompt's worthy of some of these words even actually, but she really did a fine job on this. Well, way to go, Angel.
Awesome comment. Thank you both very, very much. Okay, and thank you, Angel. Another great share. Okay, now I'm going to grab the next poem, which is by Gerald Green, and I will put that in the chat wall. And when you guys tell me that you see the link, I will push play. So shout out when
you
see it.
You know what's funny, Deb?
What's that?
Yeah, it's up.
Is I was going to take that picture, but I didn't want to take it unless I was sure I was going to be here. So I waited too long, and Gerald snagged it. I already had half a poem written for that prompt. And so this was the next closest thing to it. So I already had a beginning.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Well, let's find out what Gerald did with this, because we know you aced yours. Do you see it? Did you click on it then?
No, I don't see it
yet.
It's
up.
I just got to get back to the page. Come on. Yeah, I got it.
Okie doke. Then I shall push play. Here we go.
Time and Vanity. Written and read by Gerald Green. Human beings differentiate with calculating thought under vanity's light to appreciate or denigrate. As if the eye of history signals approval for conjured plans to elevate, thinking with the posture of the wise. Placemats, bowls and cutlery are set aside for more important, self-enhancing action. Moving pieces on a silver chessboard, sacrificing porcelain pawns at one's own choosing, while the unseen clock ticks tirelessly. History's eye watches vanity at work, conveys each vivid scene to hidden courts where silent judgment waits. Between twin golden candlesticks. Tick, tick, time moves on, pushing, shoving, forcing with a broom and shovel everything along its sturdy thread. The thinker isn't satisfied with survival, but schemes to win a fleeting game of blows, where kings fade to rooks, and knights to pawns as wine is sipped from the cup of life. He hurries lest he misses opportunity to win and dominate before allotted ticks upset the board, or worse, the fragile table crumbles with the weight of time.
He's such a strong reader. And writer, human beings differentiate with calculating thoughts. So true. Regardless of the fact that it's a game there where he's, you know, sort of speaking about a chess match, but just those two lines, human beings differentiate with calculating thought. I really think I say this sometimes on some of these. But when you look at a picture and you see somebody's first two lines and they've already captioned it perfectly just in their lines, I find that really clever. let's see, placemats, bowls, and cutlery are set aside for more important self-enhancing action. I love that, self-enhancing action. Moving pieces on a silver chessboard, sacred porcelain pawns at one's own choosing, while the unseen clock ticks tirelessly. I like how he jumped in on that. Like, if you look at the photo, you can see the thinker. And so the human differentiates calculating thought. It is perfect. So you picture the thinker as like a chess piece. And then he takes us through this game. And I liked how he pulled some history into his, like as if the eye of history signals approval for conjured plans to evaluate. So the wording is really, really brilliant. And then history is mentioned again. History's eye watches vanity at work and conveys each vivid scene to hidden courts. I love the play on words that go with the chess pieces and the king and the courts, and it's just a clever little nuance. And then we have the tick-tock time moves on. I love that line, that tick-tock time. The alliteration there is cool. The thinker isn't satisfied with survival but schemes to win, a fleeting game of blows where kings fade to rooks and knights to pawns. I like the wording. I like the story and the detail. Another excellent piece. And since you were going to choose this one, Linda, I'm going to go to you first and ask what you think.
I liked it. You know, Gerald has a way of making everything sound like a history lesson, like it's real. And it's an interesting way he does it. But he did a great job with this. Things that I didn't, you know, never would have thought of. But the way he went with it was really cool. He's got history's eye watches vanity at work, conveys each vivid scene to hidden courts when silent judgment waits between twin golden candlesticks. That is, like, totally something that I could, you know, imagine, but this whole poem is fabulous. So thank you, Gerald, for sharing it. You stealer of prompts.
Awesome comment. And David, will you comment for Gerald, please?
Yeah. Gerald did a good job with this. He analyzed the prompt really well, I thought. And then he stuck with it, and you know, it's human beings differentiate with calculating thought under vanity's light to appreciate or denigrate as if the eye of history signals approval or conjured plans to elevate thinking with posture of the wise. There's a whole cross section of people in the world that are slaves of time, and they think that if they get things done or align stuff up, it's gonna make their lives better, and it seldom does. It is the sole definition of vanity, as far as I'm concerned. You have to take the time to remind yourself of who your friends are, and take the time to call them up on the phone and just talk to them, say, hey, I love you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a lot of people don't do that nowadays. And this, I think Gerald expressed some of that in this, at least that's what I took away from his poem. Fascinating use of words. He's really good at that. And he's, the way he read this was fabulous too. It's one of my favorites of his, I think. Gosh, we've had some good poetry tonight, but this is really nice.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed this. You know.
I agree.
Fabulous comment. Okay. Now, if you guys will click on the poem from Alf Collier, I will read for him. and just let me know when you see it.
I see two of them up there.
Yeah. Oh, they're, it's the same one.
Okay.
Okay. I'm there.
Okay, this is called Of Birds and Books by Alf Collier. And here we go. With wings spread wide in silent flight from mountainous terrain, these gatherers of cultured light explore in hopes to gain new wonders of the world to right the deadliest of pain, then fly through darkened skies at night, examine facts germane. From valley roads and hillside trails, new pastures lit with sun, they've borrowed quotes, recorded bells, and mighty beats to stun. Each winding city steals, regales the stories never done, and hometown boys tell epic tales of fishing rod and gun. On silvered beaches, words unspoke are gathered on a page, and dance halls churn with wallets broke by loneliness and rage. High teas encourage thoughts to choke the savant and the sage, and soldiers share a squalid joke before the wars they rage. When fashion statements start to twitch with buttons, beads, and bows, these couriers arrive to snitch on details of the shows. There is no chance of blundered hitch, as everybody knows, new items printed, all of which are gathered by the crows. It matters not from whence news came. The written word must spread. The content crafted to inflame demands that it be read. A daily page or poet's claim, an orbit of the dead. These gleaners have no earthly shame, nor fear the path we tread. End poem. Okay,
wow.
For starters, let me say, from the rhythm there was like amazing, easy to follow, easy to read. The details are fabulous. Right from the visuals, right from the beginning, with wings spread wide in silent flight, the mountainous terrain, these gatherers of cultured light explore in hopes of gain. I think that the detail, the imagery throughout, the story, like the fashion statement starts to twitch with buttons, beads, and bows. These couriers arrive to snitch on details of the shows. I like the way he put that. They arrive to snitch. It matters not from whence news came. The written word must spread. The content crafted to inflame demands that it be read. Like I said, the rhyme is perfect. The flow is perfect. And I'm kind of feeling like this is probably a form, and I was looking to see if he had a notation down there. But irregardless, man, it's a gorgeous piece. And here, okay. I can't see that particular contest for one reason or another. But anyway, it's brilliant, and I bet he'll do really well in the contest. And Alf, I appreciate you writing for the show, and it was sure an honor to be your reader. Let me get you some more comments on this masterpiece. David, you want to go first?
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head with this, Deborah. It is a masterpiece. I've always liked the way he writes. I've known Al for a long time now, and I've read a lot of his work, and it's all like this. It's just fabulous. And it had a real interesting storyline. It really got me. I like birds anyway, and crows are one of my favorite characters, crows and ravens. And the second to last stanza, when statements start to twitch with buttons, beads, and bows, those couriers arrive to snitch on the details of the show. There is no chance of blundered hitch, as everyone knows. New items printed, all of which are gathered by the crows. Crows and ravens are some of the most two of the most intelligent species of birds that there is. If anyone would know, you know, BS about something that was written that just full of crap, they would know, because they can differentiate that sort of thing. And that kind of bounced off me when I saw that. I liked it, and I thought it was interesting they put that in there. This is really, really a fine piece, and you know, it's there's a lot of truth in it too. So good poem, really good, really well done. It is a masterpiece.
Totally agree. Great comment, David. Thank you. And Linda, what'd you think?
Well, since both you and David stole my opening line about being a masterpiece, I will say this is an epic story. It's got all the cool stuff in it that an epic has, you know, the birds and stuff. But I love this part: from valley roads and hillside trails, new pastures lit with sun. They've borrowed quotes, recorded fails, and mighty feats to stun. Each winding city street regales the stories never done, as hometown boys tell epic tales of fishing rod and gun. That is so cool. This whole poem is so honestly beautiful, and the imagery in it was cool. I could see what he was writing, and that's an interesting thing of being a writer, is to be able to make somebody see and visualize what your words are. And it's not an easy thing to do, but he has nailed that here. I mean, each verse is just killer. So, Alf, you did an absolutely stellar job here. Thanks for sharing.
Fabulous comment. And Heather, I did see that you finished yours, but I don't know, did you get a chance to hear Alf's poem that I read?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay. No, it's not a problem. I just didn't want to ignore you.
Yeah,
okay, so then I am going to grab Hatter's poem. I know I just saw it, and I'm going to bring it to the board. Oh, you put it on the wrong topic, but okay, there it is. Yeah, you put it on next week, but it's cool, we got it. And David, can you check your inbox? And Hatter, take us away, please.
Yeah, yep.
All right, no final edits. It's going to be rough. Called Cheese the Moon. And if you see the picture, that's not fire, that's cheese. It goes like this. I saw the list was long written. I saw the list was written long, but it did not have to wait. Picked apart before I got here. This is the number 8. We drilled for water. We missed, you see. Our moon is filled with Gouda cheese. Began in spring and leaked for days. The moon is leaking cheese. It went insane when it began to rain. It topped the highest trees. It clogged the pipes and then the streets when someone ordered cheese. Oozied through like gorilla glue. It sticks all things together. It floats like boats but never soaks. It's impervious to all weather. On the side became that thing that never said when we never say when ordering. Our streaks run free with feta cheese. We have no room for Jack. So when you buy, just tell the guy you want more cheese with that. We take this day of healthy cheese. We look upwind wondering how to plug the hole that's leaking cheese. Our moon is sinking in the sky. We now know the reason why. We broke the yoke, our moon inside. When seeking water, we missed, you see. And now we're wading up to our knees. Screw the warming or the green. It's more important with is the cream. A box or two, it's all for you. I hope that you love cheese.
Very cute.
That's great.
It was great. And I could hear the smile in Hatter's voice, and the smile would be bigger when you would laugh, Dave. And again, it was a nice background laugh, so it wasn't overbearing, but it was cool to hear the response. And then here we go with that. I mentioned the infamous Hatter rhyme earlier. We drilled for water. We missed, you see. Our moon is filled with Gouda cheese. It began in spring and leaked for days. The moon is leaking cheese. It went insane when it began to rain. It topped the highest trees. I mean, and to keep the sound going for so long, too, Hatter, that was really awesome. And we take this day of melting cheese. We look up wind wondering how to plug the hole that's leaking cheese. And I'm thinking, who cut the cheese? So, like, yeah, and then, like I said, with Dave laughing, it added to it. I'm repeating myself again, but I love it when a poet reads their own work and you can tell that it's tickling them to read it and share it with us. And that's what I got from this.
Mm-hmm.
We broke the yoke, our moon inside. When seeking water, we missed, you see, and now we're wading up to our knees. Screw the warming of the green. That's more important than the cream. I mean, this is kind of crazy, but fun. And it does look like some melty cheese stuff in that picture. Like, so cheese the moon, clever title, fun read, great share.
Thanks.
I'm glad you had fun with it, Hatter. It's really, really cool. And David, I heard you laughing.
Yeah, this was fun. I saw this picture and I didn't know what the hell I'd do with it, you know. And then Hatter picks it up and nails it, you know. And I just had to laugh. It was funny, you know. It's oozing through like gorilla glue. It sticks all things together. It floats like boats, but never soaks. It's impervious to all weather. On the side became the thing we never say when ordering. Our streets rent free with feta cheese. We have no room for Jack. So when you buy, just tell the guy you want more cheese with that. That's fabulous, Hatter. That's fabulous. And you screwed this thing together in a short amount of time. I'm sure you did. And it would have taken me a couple hours to come up with this, and it wouldn't have been as funny. So well done, my friend. This is great.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, it's still a little rough, but yeah.
No, it's perfect. Yeah.
For sure.
Great comment, David. And Linda, what do you think? Linda, are you muted, hon?
Sorry. Jerry was bringing in wood. I didn't want it to make a big sound. Anyway, this is captivating as always, Hatter. No matter how long it took you to write, it seems like you had taken the time to really think this out. And I forget what I was going to say. It's hard to write humor, but hearing David's giggles in the background made me giggle too. And it just the whole thing, the sound of your voice as you read it, made it funny. And I'm just saying that to make people laugh at your stuff is a really hard thing to do. All in all, this to the prompt, it's perfect. The ship up there oozing what now I know is cheese on everything made this really good. Our streets run free with feta cheese. We have no room for Jack. So when you buy, just tell the guy you want more cheese than that. That is a perfectly formed verse with the perfect amount of humor in it. And the whole thing is just so cute. I understand you wrote this quickly, so I give you kudos for writing such a cohesive piece. But I want to thank you for sharing it because it gave me a chuckle. Thanks, Hatter.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't have my glasses on when I was looking at the pictures. So when I saw that, I go, that looks like melting cheese. And when I try to do humor, I find it hard to end the thing. How do I end this up? You know, where do I take?
Right.
I think you did great, Hatter.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's where we're at, everyone. I have Phil the Poet recording left, and then David's going to close out the show with a special poem that he wrote for Felon. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But before we do the last two poems, Linda, would you like to tell us what's on your show schedule?
Yes, at A Team of Voices, the second Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, I have a show with stupid jokes and good poetry. And then again on the third Saturday at LCN, La Cosa Nostra, I have another show at 9 p.m. Eastern with more stupid jokes and good poetry. So come on by and have some laughs and hear some good poetry. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And right under Phil's poem, I just added the link to the topic board for my show next week. I found a whole bunch of different artists that did I put the rules there instead? No, I didn't. Okay, sorry about that. That do some beautiful watercolor art, from really intricate, elaborate work to a little more simplistic to portrait-like. So I'm sure there'll be something that'll touch each of you. So choose one of those. And I did not put any quotes or required word bank. Oh, maybe I did. Please use a dozen words. Okay, I lied. I put a word bank where I have asked you to use 12 of the words, and there's like over 50 to choose from, and then to choose one of the 45 paintings that are there, and then show me the mad skills that I have grown accustomed to hearing from you week after week. And I appreciate you all because I am always blown away by the level of poetry and brilliance that comes from everybody. And I appreciate you all very much. Now, on that note, and don't forget to join Sweet Pea tomorrow. And on that note, I say, let's click on the poem that Phil the Poet sent in. And when you guys tell me that you see it, which is right above my watercolor link, I will push play.
Yeah, it's up. So, it's up there.
Cool. Okay, here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Father Time's Flying Machine. This monstrosity floats among the clouds from east to west, with cabinets full of napkins and savory duck's eggs. The silver clock face always says 10 to 8, which triggers the twin propellers to separate. One pointing to the earth, the other points to the moon, which tilts the sideboard with the salt shakers and the spoon. But the waves of time levels the chaotic machine, fast forward into some kind of nocturnal dream. Powered by crushed garlic cloves that pollute the air, swaying from side to side like grandma in her rocking chair. 8 gears with no reverse, always going forward, announcing that your future is never assured. The boats gather underneath to watch time fly by, knick-knacks and packages raining down from on high. Grinning grandpa sees a thread from his younger days, when he had youth on his side and everything was blasé. The wind blows time like a trinket toward its destination, an unknown place beyond this vast constellation. The hands of time stop and are wrapped up in rust. Father Time's flying machine has finally corroded into dust. End poem.
Do we have a picture that he drew to?
Wow. What was that, Heather?
What picture that he drew to, his prompt that he chose?
I'll grab that for you guys in just a moment. But I'm like, wow, here, the monstrosity floats among the clouds, east to west. The vivid description right there. And I love the thought of the monstrosity. Father Time's Flying Machine is really a brilliant title. Powdered by crushed garlic cloves that pollute the air, swaying from side to side like grandma in her rocking chair. Eight gears with no reverse, always going forward, announcing that your future is never assured. There's a doom in that statement, and it adds the suspense, I guess is the word I'm looking for, as we listen. And let me see here. I got sidetracked because I just noticed that he entered it in a contest and won an award for it. So this is a award-winning poem by Phil the Poet. The boats gather underneath to watch time fly by, knickknacks and packages raining down from on high. And then in the closing stanza, the wind blows time like a trinket towards its destination, an unknown place beyond this vast constellation. I like the rhyme pattern and the details and the flow. I think that he really, really did a fabulous job, and I appreciate him for writing for the show. And I am actually grabbing that art right now so that I can add it to his photo. But in the meantime, add it to his poem. But in the meantime, I am adding it to the board right now so that you guys can see it and. Oh, you know what? It's going to take me a moment to do that because I accidentally just exited. So how about if Hatter, go ahead and comment while I put the – oh, that was quick. It's never reloaded that quick before. Anyway, go ahead and comment, and I am adding that to the chat wall. So if you wanted to peek at it before you comment, that's cool too because here it is. On the board right now. So, take a peek at that and then comment, please.
In most every piece, there's a phrase or a couple of words used that usually is the hook or can be replaced or listed as the title. In this one, it's the knickknacks and packages or packages and knickknacks. It's like poets and paperbacks. It's just two words that just sort of flow together. Knickknacks and packages, that's what it stood out. That could be a hook, could be the title. Phil does a great job describing. Right off the bat, he's right. I needed to see the picture. That's why I asked. This monstrosity floats among the clouds. I have to see it. This is very, like all Phil's. You know, I like to think that he struggles and it takes time for him to put these together when probably it just oozes out of him, so it's probably not as difficult. But you can always tell how much time a poet puts into his work. You usually can. Nothing's tripped over. Everything's smooth. And, thank you, Phil. Good job.
Comment. And Linda, please.
Yeah. Phil is an amazing poet. And I love listening to him read his stuff because he rhymes words that I would never be able to read it and rhyme it. But he has a couple places in here where he does that forward and assured. It kind of rhymes, but when he says it, it's a perfect rhyme, you know. But this was a really cool poem. Without seeing the picture, when he read it, I could see the picture, if you understand what I'm saying. I didn't need to see the prompt, actually, to see the picture in my brain. He has a way of describing things kind of like Stephen King, where he's so it only takes a verse or two to describe something perfectly, and you know, in a verse, so you can see what it's like. It is an amazing talent, and Phil is a poet with a lot of amazing talent. So I want to say thank you, Phil, for sharing this. It was wonderful.
Awesome comment. And Dave, will you comment for Phil and then put your poem for Felon on the board?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, this is really cool. I like the way he describes this. The descriptions are spot on, really good. And mechanicals of it are good. I like that. You know, that he went in to say how the ship navigates and that sort of thing, you know, it was really a neat poem. I liked it a lot, and I thought he did a great job in reading, and he always does. So anyway.
Awesome comment. And did you grab your link for us?
I sent her a private message, so I don't know how we're going to do that. I mean, it's not a, well, wait a minute.
You could copy and paste the entire poem on the chat wall. That would be okay if that works for you.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right, let's see here. Bear with me a few minutes here. I'll get it.
Not a problem at all. Well, while you're getting that, I'll just shout to Felon to keep lighting the good fight. She's been in a health battle, and she's been in the battle for quite a long time. And, you know, she goes through a lot. And Felon, in my book, is a hero. She's a first responder. She blows me away.
Yeah, she's
and I spoke to her yesterday, and you know, like I said, she's fighting the good fight, and what else can we do? But I just want her to know we're thinking about her, and I want to give David a chance to give a shout out for her as well, because he too shared a poem with her and made her cry yesterday. So time to share the love a little bit.
Okay, I think it's up there on the board now. At least I'm seeing it. I didn't really put a title on it. I just she put one of my poems on front page pick a while back, and we got to chatting about it. I hadn't heard from her in quite a while, and so I wrote her this little thing, and I'm just going to call it the Reclining Blonde Enigma, and it goes like this. Reclining blonde enigma, bewitching innocence of all southern bells, mysterious intrigue, fascinating ghost spirit, floats in the hallways of your mind. Once you've seen her, diaphanous smile lingers. Her voice reverberates down the light years of her soul. You will not forget her. A little something for you, darling. Dave. That's it.
Oh.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end, not her not having a problem needing the poem, but irregardless, the tenderness there, reclining blonde enigma. I kind of love that. She is an enigma, a blonde enigma. And fascination and ghost spirits float in the hallway of your mind. Once you've seen her, diaphanous smile lingers. I think that it's a very sweet poem, and I'm glad that you brought it to share for her with us. Thank you, David. And Linda, what did you think?
It was gorgeous. What a sweet thing to do for somebody. David, you should be honored. This is a killer little poem from one friend to another that it's just beautiful. So tell your friend she's a wonderful poet. And thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, it's just something I wanted to do for her. So that's the way she hits me. You know, I've known Fallon for quite a while now, and I hadn't heard anything from her in quite a while. And then she came on the show and on AP and put my poem up for a front page pick, and so that's how we got started chatting again. I told her I was really pleased to see her again and that sort of thing. So I was on the computer earlier today, so I thought, oh, I'm just going to do something. I'm just going to write something for her, you know. I just do that from time to time, and so that's what I come up with. And Fallon's a beautiful woman. She's just beautiful in all the good ways that you want, and she's mysterious, you know, and she is an enigma, like I said, and that's the way she strikes me anyway. And when she read this, she said that it put tears in her eyes, and so I talked to her a little bit after that, but she's a fabulous lady. She really is. And once you met her, you never will forget her. She's just there, you know, all the time.
And let me tell you, I'm in the same group as her at the Rapper's Freestyle group. We call it Rap Free. And the girl can throw down with them with the rhyme and the rap on a board. You can throw anything at her, at a handful of them, and they're just brilliant and they're quick. And like one time in 20 minutes, we wrote these two epic collaborations because the girl just, she's like the Energizer Bunny when it comes to spitting out these lines. And if you've never read her, do yourself a favor and check her out. But in the meantime, I'm going to say keep on fighting, Fallon. I hope you feel better. Keep healing.
Yeah.
Love you much. And on that note, I am going to say, of course, thank you to my board, AP and Heather and Sweet Pea. I wouldn't want to do this without you guys. And thank you to Kay and Steven and Al and Angel and Gerald and Phil and Linda and David. And David, a special thank you for going and digging up that poem so that you could read it for Fallon. And to my big brother, Heather, thank you for always being here. And David and Linda, thanks for hanging out all night long. And I think I am going to take us out of here with the same song that we started with, which, of course, is the beautiful poem written by Jay Hatter and sung by Shout Even Shy to the music she wrote. Yay. On that note, I appreciate you all. Love and respect.
Love and respect.
All right, Deb.
Watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant. And I still loving you. I'm looking down. Trying to run away. was forever, but just a moment of your time. I cannot stay, cause I want to. Are you telling me?
What a beautiful song. David, check your inbox. Thank you, everyone. Great night, as always. Love and respect. See you next
week. Deb.
Night, Deb.
We'll do.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Linda. Thanks, David. Yep. Good night.
Good night.